Let's open our Bibles as we do, and as are led and instructed to do, to John 3:16. And let's read that together. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I'm going to continue. "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And this evening, I just want, and impressed to read this, Psalm 119, 130. It says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple." And some of the other translations, the Holman Christian Standard says, "The revelation of your words brings light." Well, we know that. The revelation of his word brings light and gives understanding to the inexperienced. That's a good way of putting it. And the Amplified says, "The entrance and unfolding of your words give light. Their unfolding gives understanding, discernment, and comprehension to the simple." Amen. Now let's turn over on our Bibles. We've been spending some time looking at Psalm 34 and being blessed by that. And let's read that together. I'm going to read verses 1, 2, and 3. It says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." You know, isn't it interesting? How many were here Sunday? You see your hands. Okay, most of you. There were some testimonies that came down and were shared. They were making their boast in the Lord. And it said, "The humble shall hear thereof." That just means, in some of the translations, it just means the afflicted. It can mean, that's basically what it means. But they'll hear of that and be glad. And when you look at verse 3, "O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." But I was looking at that second verse just now, and I just said, well, "the humble shall hear thereof and be glad." I recall there was one woman that came down, and we shouted. She said, "I'm from Spring Valley." And she said, "I've been looking for a church like this that praise God and thank God and believe God." So the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. She was glad to come into a place and see us praising God and thanking God genuinely, not put on and fake. So your praise and your boasting has an effect. And I think that's what we spent some time on Sunday talking about, boasting, or another word for that is to brag or to rave about. And one of the, just in the dictionary, says to rave is to talk with extreme enthusiasm. You know, when you're enthused about something, you're going to boast about it and brag about it. You're going to just go on and on and on and on and on talking about that. Well, how much more should we rave and boast in our God? and rave about him and do that, what, all day long, continually. And, you know, we shared that it's one thing to just sit and listen to somebody talk about their circumstance, but at some point, you got to shift that conversation around and say, but my God. Yeah, I might be going through something, but my God. My God can change it. I know somebody that can change it. And we got to shift that around, because if you stay there, faith comes by hearing. And that can just affect not only the hearer thereof, but also the one that's doing all the talking. It could be a doctor. It could be somebody on your, we can't do this. There's no hope. There is absolutely no hope. Well, they're boasting. They're boasting on what the circumstances are. And I think, you know, there's equal time. We need to boast on my God and what he's capable of doing and what he will do. And we spent some time over in Numbers just talking about the Joshua and Caleb. And when you read over in Numbers 13, we just spent a few minutes. I'm not going to stay here. I'm just kind of highlighting for those that were not here. Just in the beginning of Numbers 13, it says, and they returned from searching the land after 40 days, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and they brought back word unto them. But the word they brought back wasn't a good word. It was an evil report. And you can see further down, Caleb stilled the people before Moses. And if you look up that word stilled in the Hebrew dictionary, it just says to hush. He hushed the people. In other words, he says, shut up. Be still. And that he, because it was an evil report. And I believe I also shared in verse 32, and it says, and they brought up an evil report of the land. Well, God had already told them, it's your land. Although he didn't tell them there were inhabitants in the land. He said, it's your land, it's flowing with milk and honey. Go in and search it. He didn't tell them that there were folks in there and walled cities. And it's the same thing as I shared in here, this evil report. If you look up, one of the definitions for that word is defamation. And if you just look up that word, that means slander. So when they brought up an evil report, they were slandering what God had promised them. And so we ought not do the same thing. God said, you're healed. God said, I'll meet your need. He said, if you bring the tithe in, I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing you can hardly contain, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Well, when you get a little opposition, are you going to be a soldier, or are you going to pack it in and go home? Because you'll never get to inhabit the promised land or inhabit that which God has promised you. See, he says, okay, here it is. This is yours. He may not tell you that there's some folks in there, some opposition. How many are business owners? Anybody business owners in here? And so you had a prompting to start a business. Did he tell you you're going to have some opposition? No, he didn't tell you. He didn't tell you. But did you give up? No. Why? Because it's in your heart. It's something that God has told you to do. And the same thing, we ought not give up easily. And not only easily, at all. Period. We ought not give up. And I was so grateful that the Holy Ghost gave that word to Sister Gladys up in Pennsylvania when I was there. That word was something by the Holy Ghost. Don't nurse it. Don't rehearse it. Disperse it, and I'll reverse it. Oh, yeah. See, you look up those words, nursing means you're meditating on it. You're holding it in. You're thinking on it. Rehearsing means you're just going it over and over and over and over. Disperse it means what? Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall what? Believe that the things they say shall come to pass, you shall have it. And he said, when you do it, he going to reverse it. Amen. Suddenly. He's going to reverse those things that you've decided not to nurse and rehearse. See, so the Holy Ghost is saying some things. And one of the things, a scripture that you can use or even see it in this light, there's no temptation that is not common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Some folks will say, well, you know, you don't understand my problem. Nobody has experienced this. I see. With a little twist. No, I like this. This is the New Living Translation. It says, the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. Hello. That's the New Living Translation. Just so if you thought maybe it wasn't clear, that's pretty clear. It says here, the temptation in your life are no different from what others experience. So you can't come up with something that God doesn't go, wow, that's a good one. I don't know what I'm going to do. What are we going to do? No, he's already provided a way of escape. He's already provided. You just need to be smart enough to take it and to walk in it. Amen. So when we were sharing on Sunday, I don't know if I shared this, but we've shared it in previous lessons. Faith is released in my words. We always say faith-filled words. Well, when I speak words that come out, my words is my faith being released. And so you could say the same thing. Thanksgiving and praise is my faith speaking. So when I praise and thank God in faith, it's my faith. It's that thanksgiving and praise is words. It's faith being released. So that's why griping and complaining, you're going to get over into death with your words. And we shared death and life is in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall be what? Satisfied and filled. And with the increase of your lips you'll be filled, but with the fruit of your lips you'll be satisfied. And that means life or death. So I can tell you, when we start to praise God, we're going to be satisfied in our spirit, man. What? That he's working it out. He's working it out. Amen. And I shared this a few lessons ago. In Hebrews 10:23, it says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Now, just in the light of what I'm sharing, thanksgiving and praise is really our faith being released in our thanksgiving and praise. But let us hold fast the profession of our praise without wavering. See, that's continually. And it says what after that? It says, for he is faithful, that promise. So we ought not let go. It says, hold fast the profession of your faith. And I just put in praise. Same thing. Same thing. Amen. Now this evening, I wanted to pick up a little bit and go a little further. And let's turn over to Ephesians 5. I believe I've started here. Ephesians chapter 5. Yeah, Ephesians 5. And start with verse 1. It says, "Be therefore followers," or you could say imitators, "of God as dear children." And let's look at verse 2 through 4 closely. It says, "And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." He did what? He gave himself for us an offering and a sacrifice. And then verse 3, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints." So he's talking about something that should not, that's not fitting or becoming of saints. And then he continues, "Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather," see, this is what's fitting of saints, "but rather giving of thanks." See, that's fitting and appropriate and right for the saints. In the New International Version, it says, "And live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving." We are to offer up thanksgiving and continually. I wanted to look this evening at a few of the Psalms and Proverbs just for a few moments. Let's go back to Psalm. Proverbs 14. And, you could spend a lot of time in the Psalms just going through one by one, looking at the scriptures in the light of praise and thanksgiving. And I'm going to share some of them. Proverbs 14 and verse 30. He says, "A sound heart." Isn't that interesting? You're talking about your heart, what comes out of your heart. It makes me think of Proverbs 4, verse 23. It says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it come the issues of life." So a sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. And you're there, just go to chapter 15 and verse 4. It says, "A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit." The New International Version says, "The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit." Now listen to this version. This is the Living Letters paraphrased epistles. This is Proverbs 15:4. It says, "Gentle words cause life and health. Griping brings discouragement." Griping brings discouragement. And we need to watch with our words. We need to get and continually be in praise. In other words, "My soul shall make her boast in the Lord." Not somebody else, but me. I should be making a boast in the Lord. And you can't be boasting and griping at the same time. See, if you're boasting and you're praising, your mind is on that. And that's coming out of your heart and your lips. You can't have your mind on griping and the problem. You can't. So griping brings discouragement. And verse 13 in the same chapter, it says, "A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken." And the New International Version says, "A happy heart makes the face cheerful, but heartache crushes the spirit." So what's going on in your heart is going to show up on your face. A happy heart makes a cheerful countenance, or this says here, a happy heart makes the face cheerful. And if you've got a long face all the time, then you need to check on what's going on the inside. You need to check it out, because this is saying here, you need to have your face needs to show what's going on the inside. Amen. Verse 15, right there, it says, "All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast." And the New International says, "All the days of the oppressed are wretched, but the cheerful heart has a continual feast." The joy of the Lord is our strength. So when you're going through a tough time, you need to just decide. You know, if some of us are waiting, that's the one thing I learned, is that when I don't want to praise Him, when I don't feel like it, I can choose. I can make a choice. Just the same way you decide to get up and you go, "I don't feel like going to work today." But then you think, you go, "Let's see. Staying home, not getting paid, I'm going to work." And it wasn't good. Let me see. I'm going to pray and get a leading whether I'm going to work or not. No. You made a choice because you said, "Let's see. No pay, pay. I'm going into work." You see? So you made a choice. And you can. So it's the same thing. You can make a choice to praise God when you don't feel like it. And I'll tell you, one of the things that'll happen is, as you begin to praise Him, He'll begin to inhabit it. And you notice, we experienced it corporately here, that as we began to praise Him, what happened? It started here, and then it began to go up another notch, and another notch, and another notch, and before you know it, His presence has invaded, has entered into our presence, and we really don't want to stop, do we? You don't. You just want to stay there. You want to bask in that. You want to shout some more. You want to thank Him some more, because now His presence is tangible. Well, you didn't start there. You had to start over here in the natural and make a choice. We're just going to praise Him. And it's the same thing at home. It's the same thing in your life. You just decide, "I'm going to start praising the Lord. Ha, ha, ha." And stay there, even in that flat ha ha ha, for 5 or 10 minutes, and I'll tell you what'll happen. See, you think that God wouldn't receive that. Yeah, He does, because what you're doing is, he that cometh unto God must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. What are you doing? It ain't about how it sounds. You're coming in faith. And He's going to reward you with His presence. Oh, yes. And see, let's get by, "I don't feel like it." Let's just say, "God, I don't feel..." He already knows you don't want to. He already knows you don't feel like it. He already knows that. And you say, "Lord, I really don't feel like it today, but I'm just, by faith, I'm going to come into Your presence and I'm going to start praising You." and see what happens. Amen. Glory to God. Let's turn to Proverbs 17. There's a few in between, but we'll go over to Proverbs 17. And we praise Him because we love Him. Because He's so good. Proverbs 17, verse 22. And it says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." In other translations, the new NIV, it's the cheerful heart is good medicine. Now here, it didn't even say it's like a medicine. It says a cheerful heart is good medicine. I like that. But a crushed spirit dries up the bones. And the Young's Literal says, "A rejoicing heart doth good to the body, and a smitten spirit drieth the bones." Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, I'm just going to read a few things here for a few moments, just to give us a more of a reference and a foundation here, and just kind of hook up with this. You can just listen. I'll share. We may reference a few scriptures. But the word praise and thanksgiving, there are seven Hebrew words. Now, I'm not a Hebrew, not a scholar. I can read what it's written, but I'll just share what they are. Some of these you've probably heard already. They're predominantly used in the Old Testament. It's Yada, that's one. Toda, that's two. It's T-O-W-D-A-H. Halal, which is the root for hallelujah, that's a third. The fourth is Shabak. That's a fourth word that's used, and these are primarily used, but Yada and Toda are primary. The fifth is Barak. The sixth is Zamar, and the seventh is Tehillah. Now, the first two words that I used, Yada and Toda, the primary root definition of those two words, and it's used, you can look it up, go online, look up all the words for Thanksgiving. Just type in Thanksgiving or thanks. That is primarily those two words that are used. The others are used, but those primarily. When you look it up, it predominantly means the extended hand. This is the root meaning. The extended hand, to throw out the hand, and it just means an extension of the hand, an adoration, an acceptance. In other words, I worship you. That's what it means, to extend the hands, not to clap. And I'm not saying we shouldn't, but I'm saying when we worship and we praise and we thank God, it means that you extend the hands in thanksgiving. That's primarily what the Hebrew root word means. Yad is really what it is. Y-A-D. And so Yada is a derivative of that. But the root of that primarily means the extension of the hands. And you can go through all of the scriptures. We're not going to cover them. But those seven words in the Old Testament is primarily what's used. So scripturally, it's right for us to extend our hands, to lift up our hands in the sanctuary and offer Him praise. And I'm not here to say you shouldn't clap. I am not here to say that, but I'm saying it is right to lift up your hands. And some people say, well, I don't want to lift up my hands. Well, okay, but I'm just giving you scriptural, and there are so many scriptures. We're not going to go through all of them. You can do that on your own time. But in the New Testament, there are two primary words that are used. And I thought, I saw one which I thought was very interesting. the primary word in the New Testament that's used for thanks is eucharisteo. Eucharisteo. That is the Greek word that is used primarily for thanks and thanksgiving. And when you look up that word, what's very interesting is it says to be grateful, to be thankful, to give thanks. And when you look up, you could go through and just type in give thanks. You can see all of the scriptures that say give thanks. It means to be grateful, to be thankful. And I thought, now that's interesting. How many of us are thankful to God? How many of us give thanks and we're grateful to God? Not, you owe me something. Or, you know, I'm expecting. Yes, we expect God to do things. We expect Him to, but we're grateful. We're grateful to God. And the interesting thing that when you look up some of these scriptures, the scripture that came to mind was in 1 Peter 5:5. It says, God resists the proud, but does what? Giveth grace to the humble, the grateful. You see, if you come in prideful that I expect this, and God give me this, He looks at the heart. Now, yeah, He may look over and, you know, a child, I'm talking about not a little young child in the natural, but I'm talking about a baby Christian, He looks by some things and gives us some slack. But when you get a little bit older, you know, just like in the natural, you know, you get out there and clean that up. Fix up your room. Do this. Do that. And that's where when I started thinking, how many of us are grateful for those that have made a way for us here in the natural? How many of us are grateful for the things that we have? Now, that's a natural thing. But how many of us are grateful to God for everything that we have? Just to say, thank you, Father. Thank you for the roof over my head. Thank you for the food. Thank you for this, the transportation I have. Thank you for the job. Thank you for the activity of my limbs. Thank you for the things that you're doing in my life. How many of us are grateful from a grateful heart? You see? And that's what He's looking for. And when you go through the scriptures, I tell you, this was an interesting scripture that surfaced when I started looking at these scriptures. Turn over to Hebrews 13:15, and I thought this was very interesting scripture because it's the word used to praise and to celebrate. I thought, man, I never saw that before. I never saw it before. We've taught this scripture from the standpoint of the Greek word homologeo, which is say the same thing. We've taught this scripture regarding confession and everything else in faith. But this particular scripture says, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. You know what that word thanks is? Homologeo. Help me out here, because I'm homologeo. Who's got their tongue working right? Because homologeo. Okay, well, you know what I mean. A big word, right? No, Greek word. But that word, and of course, we've shared it before in the Strong's Concordance. It means to say the same thing as another, to agree with, to assent, or to be in agreement with. To profess, to declare openly, speak out freely, to profess oneself the worshiper of one. But one of the definitions is to praise and celebrate. To praise and to celebrate. And this, when you read this scripture now, it says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, praising and celebrating his name. We're to praise and celebrate him, being grateful. You know, I'm thinking about, so often in the natural, you know, it's pervasive. I was sharing this with Pastor Greg coming in. I said, you know, so often you hear people complaining about their job. And ain't doing this, ain't giving me a raise, I'm working so hard, they owe me. Ungrateful. Ungrateful. And some complain about their husband and wife. Ungrateful. And I said we need to be thanking God and grateful for what we have. Doesn't say it can't improve, but thankful and grateful for what we have, and thank God for what we have, and be thankful. Now, that's not to say we can't believe God for more, and believe God for better, and expect nothing wrong with that. But you need to be grateful for what you have. Because I'll tell you, God looks at what you're doing with what you have, and if you're not grateful for the little bit that you have, newsflash, he ain't giving you more. He won't give you more. Because you're not grateful for the little bit that you have. He wants to see what you're going to do with what you have, and are you grateful? And I'll tell you, I am grateful for everything that he's given me, and as we sang, the good and the bad that we've walked through. I'm grateful because even in that, you've heard Brother Hagin share that, and I know everybody can concur with this. He shared this in his latter years. He said, you know why I'm so steady? Because I had to suffer some things. Suffer for the gospel. It made me steady and things don't rattle me in life. And so God used that. Him walking through life and walking through the tests and trials of committing his life to the gospel to do what? Prepare him. And so we need to be grateful even when we are walking through something. Thank you, Lord, you're working this out. Thank you. Because here's the thing. Let me go back and read this scripture just to keep you in mind so you don't lose the tenor of that. But in Numbers, them folks, you think about it. They got what they complained about. They got it. We're going to die in the desert. And they did. They got it. But you don't ever hear Joshua and Caleb saying that. They're probably saying, mm-mm, we ain't dying in the desert. We're taking the land. We're going in and take the land. And I think I shared that Sunday. Can you imagine, you know, you all, sometimes we complain about, I don't want to work on that job with them unbelievers. I don't want to work on them job with them folks complaining and blah, blah, blah. Joshua and Caleb had to walk with them unbelieving folks for 40 years. And you're complaining about a year, or 6 months, or 2 years. A week. Yeah, a week. Yeah. They were with them for 40 years. They didn't go in. They died in the desert. But Joshua and Caleb got in. They brought them in. And so we need to be thankful and not complain about our circumstances that we're going through. I mean, none of us like going through. I mean, I'm getting better. But none of us like, do we like going through things? Not really. In the flesh, we don't like it. We don't. We don't like going through stuff. But I can tell you, it's going to make the journey a whole lot better when you praise Him and you thank Him. Because His presence will go with you. And so, you know, I think in my younger years, sometimes, not all the time, I'll tell you, and I'm going to give you a secret. I learned this after walking through some things. That in my early years, I gave it 110%. And there were things that God spoke to me as a young person that I would be doing. Some of them I'm starting to walk in now. Just starting. There's more. And when I didn't see it start to happen, after not a week, 20 years, 25 years, after God spoke those things to me, I became a little discouraged. Because after 25 years, I thought, okay, and thoughts started coming. And that's why when it says griping can create discouragement, I lived there. I started griping. Not to people, but like just, yeah, okay, ain't what's going on? I'm not talking about after a year, 2 years, 5 years. I'm talking about 20-some years that God has spoken is burning in you. You know you. And so I'm giving it everything I got, but I'm not seeing some things. And I started to entertain thoughts. That was the downfall. Instead of me kicking them out right there and saying, no, God said, now I'll just share this. Thoughts had come in before, and I did. I kicked them out. I said, uh-uh, God spoke to me. He said this, this is coming to pass. And I'd go on doing my work. But then I allowed the thoughts. That was the problem. And I started feeding on it. And then the next thing, the thoughts went from that to griping. And the griping created discouragement. And then the next thing was depression. And I got into some depression that was very, very strong. And it was so strong, I couldn't shake it. It was extremely strong. And I couldn't shake the depression. Because what happened? I let go of my praise. I let go of what God had told me. And I started thinking on a devilish thought. And so it wasn't, yeah, the depression finally lifted. And I realized afterwards, it was literally like a vice. I could not, it was demonic and it was like a vice. I was stuck. It literally was like a vice. It gripped me and I couldn't get out of it. I was stuck. And if anybody's been in that, they know what I'm talking about. You're almost, you don't want to say you're helpless, because you're not helpless, but you feel like it. And so anointed words were spoken to me, and just like that, it broke. Just like that, it broke. And when it lifted, I saw the foolishness of what I had done. I saw it. And I said, never again will I do that again. Meditate on some things. And so it's the thanksgiving and praise that keeps us over there protected. Protected from it. And so, I don't know why I'm sharing this tonight, but maybe somebody needs to hear it. But I tell you, our thanksgiving and praise will keep us over in His habitation. Even when we don't feel like it and things don't seem like they're coming to pass, We can feel like God has forgotten, or it looks too much, or it won't come to pass. And I've realized since then that don't you ever dare give up or let go of something that God has spoken to you. I'm telling you, the word of the Lord came to me when I was a young man. He said some things, and he said, I will bring it to pass. I will. I don't have to make it happen. I don't have to work it up. He's going to bring it to pass. And so those things are going to come to pass, just like those things that he has spoken to this ministry. He said, I will do it. So it really doesn't matter whether we see 100 or 200 or 300 or 400 people. He said, I will do it. And all he said in these prophecies that have been given to this church is that the people that I'm sending are too great to fit in this building. And he said, I'll do this and this and this and this if you'll let me. Just seek me. And then that he also said, keep it pure on the word, keep it pure financially, and keep it pure sexually. And he said that the things that he'll do here are great and mighty. And he called this church, he decreed it, this is a mighty church. And so there's some things that God has decreed over this ministry, he's going to bring them to pass. He's going to bring them to pass. So we ought not get discouraged because we don't see things or don't feel this way or these people doing it. So what? God has a plan and a purpose for this ministry. And we need to just say, I'm going to get in my place. Because when you get in your place, there'll be grace. Grace for you. Just like Pastor Sarah, she's walking through something, but she's making every effort to do what? Get in her place. And you need to do the same thing. Yeah, we have businesses, we have jobs, we go to work, but we also have a responsibility to God in the body of Christ, and we need to get in place. And so those are the things that... you know, we can let go of some things just like the Israelites did. And we can wander around in a big circle. And some of us, not here, but some folks will never reach their promised land of what God has promised them because they're wandering around and they let go of some things. Don't let go. Don't let go. You're a soldier in the Lord. And I've shared this in past lessons that your faith victories will affect and can affect and do affect generations to come. Amen. So it's not about you. All right. You don't let go. Keep steady. Keep faithful. Keep pushing ahead because the things that God has assigned each one of us to do affect generations. And that's really what the devil's trying to do, is to break it all up, muddy it all up, so generations don't come to know Christ. And we're not going to do that. And I'm convinced that this church, this congregation, is being nurtured and prepared to take the land in a great, mighty way. I'm convinced of it. And has spent... with Pastor Sarah and Pastor Clinton investing their lives, giving of their lives to create, to have God work through them and other ministers that came to create this foundation that God's going to now build on, that's going to affect millions of people. And we see it. So we just need to be steady. And as we're going through, thank Him. Give Him praise. And just seek Him. Don't be looking around. You know, it's like when we get to praising God, don't be looking around and looking at your neighbor and all of that. You get your hands up and praise God and thank Him for everything He's given us and everything He's going to do. And He'll inhabit our praises. And little by little, you'll look up and this place will be too full to hold the people. and the money. All of it. Amen. Praise God. Well, let's unhook for this evening, for now. But let's say this. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to turn back. And I'm not going to give in. Amen. Amen. But I'm going to take back all that God has promised me. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. 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 Amen.